Greetings. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I would like to ask you a question. Do you want to be a certified trained biblical counselor? If so, I have good news. We are open for registration for biblical counseling classes for fall of 2020. We have even more good news, and that is the classes will be held online through Zoom. You can now learn and receive training from the comforts of your own home. You don't have to be concerned with parking, taking public transportation, or the stress of trying to make it to class on time. There's a variety of decreased expenses, such as childcare, fuel, transportation, and maintenance costs, and an opportunity to learn in a relaxed, casual environment. All you need is a phone, laptop, or computer with a camera and the willingness to learn and grow, and you're in. To register, you can do one of the following. You can go online, www.bethanybaptist-pgh.org, or you can call 412-246-4463 for more information. God bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Eternal Christ. Jesus has existed for all eternity. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Eternal Christ. Jesus has existed for all eternity.
Was God, and all he did was wrap flesh around his deity. He never stopped being God. See, if Jesus Christ stopped being God, then we got a problem. If God can stop being God, then we're all in for trouble. And so when Jesus Christ came, all that he did was underneath here, I have on street clothes, right? So when I put this robe on, that don't mean I stopped wearing my street clothes. My street clothes are still there. But what did I do? I wrapped this robe around it. And so when Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he never stopped being God. And we as believers have to understand that. There was never a time that he was not God. All he did was wrap flesh around his deity. And at that point, he chose to submit himself to the Father. And in that submission, there were things that he cried out and called to the Father on, but he never stopped being God. And so when Jesus says in John 17, "Restore unto me the glory that I had with you before I came," you know all he was basically saying? Let me take off the robe. Let me take it off again. And we'll have that same glory that we shared through all eternity. And so John 17, verse 5, we see that the Son is eternal. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 22, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 22, in this chapter we see Christ being referred to. And this is a powerful illustration of his eternality. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 22. We go back to verse 21, and it says, and if I had time to really get into this, but I want to encourage you to go back and read Daniel chapter 7, because it's a powerful chapter. It's a deep chapter, but it's a powerful chapter. In verse 21, it says, "And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." So there's this struggle that's going on, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later. I'm going to talk about this now. There's a struggle going on between the saints and the devil, all right? Or some people will call him here the Antichrist, all right? And look how long the struggle goes on until who comes? The Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And so this is a reference here to Jesus Christ. And what is he called here? He is called the Ancient of Days. You may see some pictures portraying God. And how do they, some pictures portray God as this old man with a beard, sitting in a chair, just filled with wisdom and knowledge. And that is a good portrayal. Now, again, we know that that God is a spirit, that we can't see him. But man has tried to reflect on God and put it in language that others can understand. And so people have tried to explain the Ancient of Days. And the way that they explain the Ancient of Days is this, like I said, this old gentleman that has been around for a long, long time, that's just filled with wisdom and knowledge. And so Jesus Christ is called the Ancient of Days. And why is he called the Ancient of Days? Because that symbolizes his eternal existence, that he's always been around. He's been this man of wisdom that has existed from eternity past. And then let me show you the final reference that we want to look at today, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 9. And this is one that we're all familiar with, especially during the Christmas time of the year. Isaiah chapter 9, as we continue to talk about the eternality of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, it says here in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born." Now, this is a very famous Christmas verse right here. You see this on what? A lot of Christmas cards. I guarantee you that you're going to get a Christmas card this year that has this verse on it right here. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God," watch this right here, what? "The Everlasting Father." So we see how Daniel and Isaiah come together to present Christ. And here he is called the Everlasting Father. And as we think about this Everlasting Father, this is not to confuse him with the Father. Because we know that the Trinity, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So this is not saying that Jesus is the Father. But again, we got to keep in mind that what is Isaiah doing? Isaiah is painting a picture. He's painting a picture of him being a what? A wonderful counselor. Amen. That when you're in trouble and you need wisdom and you need understanding, you can go and you can cry out to him and he will be a what? A wonderful counselor. He will give you wisdom like the Ancient of Days. You know, that wisdom, that eternal wisdom that he has had is available to you because he is a wonderful counselor, that he is a mighty God, that he's the one that fights our battles, that he's the one that goes before us. And then he is what? The picture. Again, it's not talking about his position. It's giving a portrait, not a position, but a portrait. And what is the portrait? The Everlasting Father. The picture is that he has been around for all eternity. So I spent that time this morning because I want us to understand that the scripture talks about the fact that he is the everlasting God. And that for us, there would be no question about that. Again, we deal with theologians who struggle with this, and they try to explain the preexistence of Christ. You have Jehovah's Witnesses who try to explain the preexistence of Christ. You've got Christian organizations that have a mission to promote the gospel to the whole world, and yet still they misunderstand who Jesus Christ is. And I would pray that this Christmas, that everyone sitting here would understand who Jesus Christ is, that he is the eternal God. Now, a couple things that I wanted to say is, and I put this in your notes for you to read on your own, because there's something I want to get to. I put this in your notes, and that is the activities of the preexistent Jesus Christ. We could never understand what in the world God was doing before he created this world. I mean, it's as a matter of fact, when Paul was caught up into heaven and he came back and he said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he said, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." We could never understand what the Trinity was doing throughout eternity. I mean, I could sit here and I could, or stand here and I could try to explain it to you. I could try to break it down. But my brothers and sisters, we could never fully understand what God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were doing all that time. I don't know, you know. But I know a couple things that they were doing, you know. One of the things that they were doing, they were communing with each other. You know, just think. It was a blessing, you know, for me to have my whole family, you know, here. And the fellowship, you know, the communion. And how much, you know, you enjoy that communion. How much you just enjoy sitting down talking, you know. Talking about, you know, what happened when, you know, your kids were growing up and you start finding out things that they did you never knew about, right? you know, you just have a great time, great fellowship with family, you know, and just coming together, enjoying that time together. And sometimes, you know, isn't the fellowship so sweet that sometimes you wish that you could just kind of put it in a bottle and just, you know, whenever you wanted to, go back and visit it. You know, just pull it off the shelf, you know, whenever, you know, you're alone and by yourself, then let me go get that bottle of fellowship with my family and pull it off, right? And just open it up and just enjoy that. And you know how much you enjoy that. Well, just think how much God, who is a perfect being, how much he must have enjoyed the fellowship within the Trinity. And they really didn't need anything else. God didn't need anything else. You know, as I said early on in the message, God is what? God is self-existent. He exists by himself. He's not dependent on anything. He told the people in the psalmist, in the psalm, he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Because I could take care of the needs by myself. And so he's self-existent. And so all the Trinity needed was themselves. And they could exist for all eternity in this sweet fellowship. And as a matter of fact, God just wanted to have a little more fun. And so what did he do? He created us. You know, that's what Revelation says. Revelation 4:11. For God's pleasure, we were created. For his divine purposes. For his wisdom. His pleasure, his enjoyment. He created us. And you know, isn't it idiotic, the fact that God created us for his pleasure, and yet we don't serve him? We don't love him? I look at people that, you know, that are just far away from God. I look at people who have no desire for God, no desire to be with God, no desire to read his word, no desire to pray, no desire to fellowship with him. And I say, man, you just don't get it. You don't understand, because it was for his pleasure that you're even here. And praise God for people who find out and understand why they're here. See, this is life's questions, right? The three biggest questions in life. Where did we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going? I mean, what more important questions? Well, I want to know how I can get $500 a day, right? No. that might be the biggest question on some people's heart right now. I'm trying to buy these Christmas presents, right? I need 500. No, I mean, if you really think about life, you know, the three questions in life: where did we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going? And the Bible answers all three. Where did we come from? Just read Genesis chapter 1 and 2. We're created by God. Why are we here? Read Revelation 4:11. For his pleasure we are created. And where are we going? If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we leave this life, we go to be with him. If we don't know him, we are separated from him. And I often ask the question, how can a loving God let somebody go to hell? And the fact of the matter is, if you don't want to be with God in the first place, why would he make you come with him? There's only two, when we leave this life, there's only two places that we can go. You know, and I don't even talk about heaven and hell. I mean, even though that's the reality and the Bible talks about it, let's drop those words, because I know those words are not politically correct. Let's just say this. You either go to be with God or you don't go to be with God. I mean, really, that's the bottom line. You either go to be with God or you don't go to be with God. The fact that you're here today, hopefully that says that you are an individual that wants to be with God. And that you have made preparations and provision. And when you die, when you close your eyes in death, you want to go to be with God. But if you don't want to be with God, all the folk that say, well, you know, I don't. And I'm not saying you got to come to church to be a Christian. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you should want to be where God is talked about. You should want to be where the saints are, where you can fellowship with. You should want to be where you can lift up the name of God. So my question is, and again, I'm not saying, I don't want anybody to walk out of here and say, well, Pastor Glaze said, you got to come to church to be a Christian. I didn't say that. All I'm saying is this. It seems like you ought to want to come. Not necessarily to Bethany's Baptist church, but somebody's church. You ought to want to come somewhere to be with God, because that's where I'm going to be. See, and people, you have a hard time going to heaven if you don't want to be with God now. So you might as well, I realize that some people have their own church, right? And that church is where Pastor Pillow and Reverend Sheets is at, right? They got their own church, right? So, you know, this lets us know that we are going to be in the presence of God, and that's why we're here. And so what does God do? And this is a powerful thought. What does God do? God opens up the fellowship that he was having with the Son and the Spirit. And he opens that fellowship up, and invites us in to enjoy the same fellowship, the same sweetness of Spirit. And what was God doing? And you know, I don't think that he had to spend a lot of time doing this, but I'm just saying, as we look at what were some of the things that God did, and I didn't put that verse up there. Let's see here. You want to write down Revelation 13:8 for that second point. What was God doing? I believe he was planning salvation. You know, yeah, in his mind, he already had it worked out, but I believe that that was a part of his eternal existence, is working this salvation out. Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That in the eternity past, that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit sat down and talked about this great salvation. And it was decided that the Son would come and bring this great salvation that we have. So these are just some of the things. You know, again, we can't wrap our mind around what God was doing throughout eternity, but these are just some of the things. And as I close today, I want to leave us with what I've been calling the so what, all right? The so what factor. So what, Pastor Glaze? Jesus Christ existed from all eternity. There's a song that was written by Martin Luther, and we all know this song. It's called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And notice the words of this song. You know, you probably know them. You don't even need the words, but I'm going to read them anyways. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Look at this. For still our ancient foe. Now, think about it. Jesus is called what? The Ancient of Days, right? And so with the Ancient of Days comes an ancient what? An ancient foe. Somebody that's been around for a long time. He's been around longer before you and I have been here. And it said, what's his job? He seeks to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. This ancient foe, there's nobody on this earth that can deal with the ancient foe. Second verse says, did we in our own strength confide? And that's the problem with many of us today. We're trying to fight a battle that we can't win. You can't beat the devil. You can't beat the devil if he had both hands tied behind his back, both his legs tied together, and somebody hit him upside the head with a baseball bat. You still couldn't beat the devil, right? Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who this may be? Christ Jesus. It is he. Lord Sabbath, his name. Look at this. From age, eternity past, to age, he's still the same. And he must win the battle. What does this mean, the eternality of Jesus Christ? Well, we got an ancient foe that's been around for a long time. But praise God, we got the Ancient of Days who's been around even longer. And the Ancient of Days will not be overcome by this ancient foe. And if you go to the next slide, and I'll be done. What does this mean? Colossians 2, 14 and 15. The eternal Christ has disarmed the devil. All right, it says that he disarmed the devil. The eternal Christ has disarmed this ancient foe. And, you know, the problem is that many of us arm the devil again. You know, we give him power in our life. We give him access in our life when Christ has disarmed him. The eternal Christ gives the believer power over the devil. In 1 John 4, it says that he overcame the devil, and now you can overcome the wicked one. You know, there's nobody here that should be beat down by the devil. You know, we should not be beat down by the forces of evil. You know, life might overtake us sometimes, situations might overtake us, but we should never be beat down by the devil. And yet still, you know, the only way we get beat down is we give in to him. We submit to him. Because the last point there, it says, thanks be to God. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. See, this is a problem. If you go back to Martin Luther's song, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. But we go here to 1 Corinthians 15, 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. We got the victory. People say, well, I'm trying to get the victory. What are you trying? You're trying to get something that you're never going to get. It's already been gotten. Jesus already got the victory. And the only thing we need to do is line up and walk in the victory. You know, we're trying to win it. And see, that's the problem. You know, I'm fighting this battle. I'm going to try to win the day. Well, you know, we're not fighting the battle to win it. We're just fighting the battle to stay in it. Because the battle's already been won. The victory's already been given. Why? Because we have an eternal Christ that is greater than any foe that would rise up against us. So as we go through Christmas this year and we think about the baby in the manger, let's remember that he is the eternal Son of the living God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Truth or Coincidence. Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Eternal Christ, Jesus Has Existed for All Eternity, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Eternal Christ, Jesus Has Existed for All Eternity. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Eternal Christ, Jesus Has Existed for All Eternity. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.